This is the third in the series called Rhythm of Faith, and we're talking about faith, since it's Rhythm of Faith. We talked about how we learn, and as babies, we begin to learn, first of all, by the senses, touch, smell, taste. We don't think in thoughts as much, probably, but it begins to shape us. And in the first 3 years of a child's life, there's more brain activity going on than any other time in his life. They say there's over 700 synaptic connections being made every second from a newborn to a three-year-old. And a lot of times you think, well, there's not a lot going on up there. In fact, they got more going on up there than you do, because they have all those connections that are being formed. And how they are raised determines their mental health. And mental health will affect your spiritual health. In fact, your worldview is formed through the way that you think. And when we're using this term interchangeably, worldview and faith. See, a lot of times when you talk about faith, people think you mean, well, how do I believe God for? And that's part of faith. And the Bible tells us to bring our needs to God and ask Him in faith believing. But I'm talking about much more than asking God for stuff, asking God for peace, asking God for guidance, asking God for money. And I believe we should do all of that. But this is more about the formation of your belief system. Because what you're doing is you're, from the time that you're born till right now, that operation system, that iOS or what is Windows? What's that called? Windows. Windows operating system. That thing that drives your computer, your program, is being formed. And that becomes your worldview. It's the glasses that you see the world through. You know, in a lot of people's glasses is hate or prejudice or fear or doubt. And they see everything through those eyes. And I'm glad that you don't have to live that way. And you know, you may be in that boat today, but I'm here to tell you, you can change your operating system. And this is what this whole thing about the rhythm of faith is all about. And we're basing it on the statement is what you hear is what you see. Now, I'm pointed to my heart, not my eyes. What you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. And that is the premise of how we develop any kind of lifestyle that we develop. And that becomes our faith. As I said a while ago, if fear is your system, that's how you live. That's how you view life. That's how you do life. And fear is very crippling. And it causes us not to function the way that we should. See, there's a negative outlook on life that cripples us and keeps us from reaching our potential. And then there is the potential that we have through truth, through God's word, through His principles and precepts and His thoughts. And when we learn to think His thoughts, it changes the way that we think, say, see, do, and what we become. And we can be what God has designed us to be. If you've lived in condemnation all of your life, you're always going to be condemning yourself. Listen, you don't have to live that way. You can change that. You can be transformed from that. It's not a magic thing where you walk up in front of the church, they lay hands on you, you fall under the power, you get up and zippity-doo-dah, everything is okay. It's a process. And it's a long process. In fact, let me just tell you, it's a lifetime process. Whether you realize it or not, there's still parts of your life that's goofed up. Look at your neighbor and say, you're really goofed up. Look back at them and say, but there's hope. There's hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. People look at me now, and when I was a kid, I was always real little. I know you look at me now, I don't look very little. I weigh 250-something pounds. But I was always the littlest guy in my class. And I had a self-image that was about the same size as my size. I just didn't feel good about myself. And if you would told me then that I was going to stand before several hundred people every week and preach, I'd have said, you are out of your ever-loving mind. I ain't doing that. I was so shy and back. I mean, if I got to know you, I would, you know, I had the same kind of personality I got now. But it was just, I wouldn't express it because I didn't feel like I was good as other people. And it was, I went through a process that I'm sharing with you right now to overcome that. And it took me a long time. And listen, I still overcome it. I still fight that battle sometimes. But see, that's why it's an ongoing thing that you keep adding to. You keep overcoming daily, weekly, monthly, year by year. But that's the only way that you're ever going to find your potential that you have in Christ. You cannot live in self-condemnation all the time. You know, there's a difference in condemnation and conviction. See, I believe in conviction. I believe that I'm doing wrong. The Holy Spirit needs to convict me of my wrongdoing so that I can repent and turn around and go a different way. I don't believe God puts His blessing on sinful lifestyles. He just doesn't do that. There's conviction, but there's a difference in conviction and condemnation. A lot of condemnation, a lot of it are the voices that we hear that people have said to us over the years. You may have had somebody in your life that told you you were never going to amount to anything, or you were no good, or you were this. And if they were an authority figure in your life, that really affects your what you hear, see, say, do, and become. But you can turn that around. You can turn that around. That's what we're going to talk about today. Would you like to get into that just a little bit? I feel like that the very important part of this, because you hear people who talk a good talk out public, but yet there's no substance behind it. There's something that science calls self-talk. And that's how you talk to yourself when you're by yourself. Those are the thoughts that you have. You know, I've been aware of times that happens in my life that I get in neutral. I'm not going forward, not going backwards. I'm resting. I'm not really thinking about anything. And maybe I will smell a smell that takes me back to a memory. Because, you know, a lot of as we develop, our five physical senses affect us a lot. So there's maybe a smell of something that mama cooked when you was a child, and you smell that and it takes you back to that memory. Or guys, maybe it was a perfume that your old girlfriend that you didn't marry, she wore, and you smell that and you think about her, and then you, uh-oh, I better not be thinking about that. My wife can read my mind. But we go back, and there's places in my childhood that I go back to sometimes. Now, I'm not doing this consciously. I'm doing this subconsciously. And I'll picture. When we were children, we lived over on Lyon Street. I can take you to the place. I can still see what the house looks like. But outside that house, there was a concrete wall that divided the yard from the driveway. And when I was a kid, that wall was that tall. I drove by the other day, and it's that tall. I was seeing it from the kid perspective, see. But sometimes in your thoughts, you drift back to things in your past. See, some of that's your self-talk. This is some of the stuff that happens in your inner man when you're really not thinking on purpose about something. And, you know, if you've had some traumatic things happen to you in your life, you may think back to that painful time in your life, and that still affects you. It affects the way that you see the world that you live in. But you don't have to live like that. You are not designed by God to live by your pain. God has given us a method where we can renew. That's what the Bible calls the renewing of the mind. See, that's not just a religious thing, although it is. It's power. Renewing the mind is a very powerful thing, and God has given us the vehicle of His Word to do that with. But it can affect every area of your life: mental, emotional, physical, social, and financial. You know, the Bible, the proverb says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, you'll never rise above the level of your thoughts. See, thoughts becomes vision, you see. Visions become speech, whether it's private speech and or public speech. And then it's followed by action, and then you become that. God never made a failure. Failures are man-made. God, and I know you hear preachers that say this, and they ought to be slapped right between the kisser. God didn't make people to fail. We are designed to bring glory to God. That's what you're designed to do. But we're going to look at the term meditate today, meditation. And I don't know, when you think meditation, you're thinking about sitting cross-legged and that's not what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about the word meditate, what it means from Scripture. And there's several things that it means. It means to chew over. Have you ever, somebody said something, let me chew on that a while. Well, what does that mean? I want to think about it. I want to mull it over in my mind. It also means to ruminate. And this is a great picture of what meditation is. A cow. How many stomachs does a cow have? I forgot. Is it four or five? A bunch of stomachs. I'm glad I don't have but one. But anyway, what a cow will do, it'll eat hay. It'll swallow it. It'll belch it back up and chew it and swallow it and belch it back up and swallow it. Chew it, you know, they call it chewing your cud. And they'll do that until it's digested. Well, that's a picture of what meditation is. That you ruminate. You think about something, you bring it up. You bring it up. Let it back down. You bring it up until it becomes a part of your thinking. Until you get it into your understanding. Until you digest that into your heart. So it also means to study, to imagine, to mourn. And that's interesting, mourn. See, what happens when you mourn? Have you ever had a loss? We've all had losses. We've all lost something or someone that's dear to us, and we feel that hurt. We feel that loss. And what do? We think about that. We see it. There's pain associated with it. Well, that's a form of meditation. It's not a good one, but it is still a picture of what meditation is about. Meditate means to mutter, to talk to yourself. And then it means to speak. I want to look at some verses. All right, you know, this is the church. Shouldn't we look at some scripture today? What do you think? We're going to look at several verses today. If you got on your notes there that they handed out to you, you can write those down. Write these down and take them home and ruminate on them, okay? Stew on it. That's another good word for meditate, to stew on it. Here's the principle of faith that we want to talk about today. Romans 10, beginning with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, where does it say the word is? It's near you. It's in your what? Where's it? It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. That is the word of faith we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, confess with your what? Mouth. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do we get saved? First of all, we have to hear the Word of God. And a lot of times we have to hear it and hear it and hear it. We have to think about what it says. We have to make the decision that we're going to believe that. We believe on it. And then we say with our mouth, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life. I give my life to you. So then it says, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the principle of faith. That's the rhythm of faith. It's in the heart. It's in the mouth. It's in the mouth. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It's in the mouth. It's like a cycle. It's like a cycle. And some of it is self-talk. and some of it is public talk. You know, you need to do a whole lot of self-talk before you do a whole lot of public talk. You got to get it in there. You got to believe on it. Another one is Mark 11:22 that shows this same principle of faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. There's the principle. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. In fact, that's how we begin to change the negative into the truth. We change the negative to the positive, or the untrue into the true, by this process of hearing, developing our image on the inside of us, and coming to understanding. And that is done through the process of meditating, which we said that means to mutter, to speak, to chew on, to stew, to ruminate, to that process that it takes where we become convinced in our heart that this is true. I was convinced in my heart as a young man that I would never amount to anything. And that's been a very, very big battle in my life. Sometimes, even now, I'll go home and those old things will come up. You just did terrible today. That was awful. You know, anybody could have done better than that. It's that self-talk. And I say, no, wait a minute. Was that God's word? Yes. Then God's responsible for it, see. If it's God, if I'm speaking God's word, it doesn't matter how I did. Okay? Because I'm not a perfect speaker. I'm not. But when I speak God's word, I speak his power. And the word of God has power to change hearts. So it's not about me. It's about his word. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Then I want to do a picture for you here. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. This is a picture of a partnership. And it says that we're partners together with God in this life, in this work. And it says we are God's field. Now I want you to picture a farmer. And this farmer has this field. This field has been plowed. It has been fertilized. You can smell, you know, you can smell dirt. You can smell good dirt. And, you know, he's surveying this piece of property that is ready to be planted. In one hand, he has corn. And in the other, he has cockleburrs. Now, who gets to choose what's planted in the garden? The farmer does. He can choose to plant cockleburrs, and what is he going to get? Cockleburrs. Have you ever got into cockleburrs before? Have you ever been hunting and walked through the field, and you get cockleburrs, and you get one on the seat of your britches, and you don't know it, and you sit down, and you rise quickly? Them suckers are bad. They're poison, too. So you can plant poison in your garden. Will God let you do that? Yes. Now, and we're talking about the garden of your God's garden, your God's field, but you get to choose what's planted in that. You can plant corn and you'll reap corn, or you can plant cockleburrs and you'll get cockleburrs. Well, so I'll just plant both. You know what you'll get? Cockleburrs. Because it always goes to the lowest form. You can't mingle your seed. When you mingle your seeds, you don't get the desired harvest. If you plant hate and love, you'll gravitate towards hate. Okay? Remember the parable of the sower? What happened when they planted good seed among thorns? Among cockleburrs. What did they get? The cockleburrs choked out the good stuff and it didn't produce the way it was designed. You can't mingle your seed. Okay? So you have to choose what you're going to plant in your life. You have to choose what you're going to hear. You have to choose what you're going to think about. See, you have the ability to capture thoughts. When those thoughts of negativity, those thoughts of condemnation come at you, you have to take those thoughts captive and you have to replace those with other thoughts, better thoughts. Go to the Word and find out what the Word says, and that's what you replace it with. I read a scripture one time that says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Well, I don't feel righteous. But what did he say? Have I accepted him as Lord and Savior? Yes. Then I have become the righteousness of God in him. I don't feel righteous. I don't always act righteous. But what did that say about me? It says that I have been made the righteousness of God in him. I have right standing with God. Amen. Now, if I sin, I need to repent, okay? I need to repent of that. But my standing with God is right standing. I am in right standing with God. Well, I don't feel that way. Well, then the Word of God isn't true then, is it? I mean, since your feelings are so much greater authority than the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how we put our feelings above what the truth of the Word of God says? That's what I'm talking about. See, a lot of times we exalt feelings and opinions and things like that above the truth of the Word of God, and we plant the wrong seed in our garden, and that's what it grows. See, you know the ground don't care what you plant in it. It'll produce whatever you plant in that dirt. Good seed, it'll produce good. Bad, it'll produce bad. If you plant pornography in your mind, it'll produce lust. If you plant hate in your mind, it'll produce hate. If you put suspicion in there, that's what it'll produce. If you put love in there, that's what it'll produce. See, it's your choice. It's your garden. God's partnered with you. He's given you the good seed, but you still have to determine what seed you're going to plant in your garden. Jesus talked about this a little bit. He talked about a tree and its fruit in Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. See, we determine the quality of fruit in our life. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generations of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you think about, whatever you meditate on, whatever emotion that you meditate on, and is in your heart in abundance, that's what's going to come out your mouth. You know what? If you think about your grandkids all the time, you're going to talk about your grandkids. If you think about sports all the time, that's what you're going to talk about is sports. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about your kids, your grandkids, and sports. But whatever you put in your heart in abundance is what's going to come out your mouth. And that's why you can't allow anything to be more important in your heart than your relationship with God. Okay? This is good stuff. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, I've got this quote. I think this is a great quote by Henry David Thoreau. I want to read it to you. As a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. See, when you think about offense over and over and over and over and over, you will always stay offended. when you think about and you dwell on unforgiveness and hate over and over and over, you'll live in that. If you think about walking in love and see yourself walking in love over and over and over and over, guess what? You're going to create a pathway in your mind that's going to lead you in that direction. You control the destiny of your life by choosing the ways of God. That's the partnership that you have with God. He will not make you do that. Listen, all results, all actions results from thoughts. So it's thoughts that matter. I want to read some verses. Psalms 19:14. I love this verse. This should be our prayer as Christians. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You have the ability to choose your thoughts. And our prayer towards God is, Lord, let me meditate on the right things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. How would you like for your thought life to be projected automatically out your mouth when you think the thought? Huh? Would you? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You walk past that pretty girl, and that thought comes out your mouth that you had. Do you know God knows what you think? He knows what you think about. He knows your thoughts are far off. So we need to say, okay, God, I want to clean up my thought life. I want my meditations and my words to be acceptable in your sight. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself completely to them, that your progress may be known to everyone. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and that means truth. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice the words progress and continue. It don't happen overnight, and you have to continue in it for it to work. This is not something that you try one time. This is not like doing one push-up or one set-up and having six-pack abs right there. You got to do that continually for that to happen, okay? It's not like eating one bite of broccoli and you know, defeating cancer. It's a lifestyle that we choose, and it's got to be a continuous thing. Okay, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it crushes the spirit. See, your words are either life-giving or death. You can crush your own spirit by the perverseness that's in your tongue. What we say is important. The words that we choose to speak is important. Don't say everything you think. You didn't put every thought in your mind in your mind. Sometimes other people have put thoughts in your mind. Sometimes the enemy puts thoughts in your mind. Sometimes your flesh puts thoughts in your mind. Sometimes you think thoughts. You've got a governor. It's called choice. Choose what you speak. Okay. Proverbs 12:1. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. You ever been around a person like that? They say words and they cut deep. But the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 13:2. A man will eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor will eat violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, But he who opens wide his lips will have destruction. Well, if you think it, you might ought to say it. No, you might not ought to. Okay. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, this is not just science. This is scripture. Can I tell you something about true science? It proves scripture. If this is the word of God, if this is really God's word, real science, true science will not disprove the word of God. In fact, we're doing in our apologetic study, some of the stuff that we're doing on Wednesday night, we talk about how much real science affirms the truth of the word of God. It's important. It's important. Proverbs 18:21. This is a good one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Had a friend one time. We went to this meeting, and I tell you who the speaker was. It was Charles Capps. Anybody remember Charles Capps? And after the service, in fact, he'd come to Batesville, was speaking at Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship. And my friend asked to spend some time with him afterwards because he wanted to counselate with him. So he invited us to his hotel room. In fact, the hotel was over where McDonald's is right now. Does anybody remember that old hotel? And it was there, and we went into his room, and my friend just started. And when he got through, Brother Capps folded his arm, looked at him, and said, "You know what? Your problem is 3 inches below your nose." You know, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of times, our biggest problem is 3 inches below our nose, and like that. Sometimes we need to get a hold of that thing. Sometimes we just need to hush till we know what we need to say. Sometimes we just need to hush. Don't just disengage brain and open mouth. Really, you're not disengaging your brain. You're really bringing your abundance out. You got to change your heart. And sometimes that you do that by choosing your words. What you meditate on, what you mutter, what you think, what you ruminate about. And that means I have to get the negativity, I have to get the hate out, I have to get the strife out, I have to get the unforgiveness out. If I want the right kind of produce in my life, I have to get that stuff out so God's word can produce in me. You know what it'll produce? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. And the Bible, what I love, that the Bible says that against such there is no law. You won't even have to have a governor. You won't have to have a law if that's in your heart. Because your heart will not offend. Your heart will be life. But you know, this is not easy stuff. If you really, it's easy to become a Christian. But it's a real challenge to really, if you're going to walk the Christian life the way that it needs to be walked, it's a challenge. I hear people say, "Man, Christianity is just a crutch." Well, get on that crutch sometimes and see if you really walk it out, what a challenge it is. Because sometimes you can't give your opinion about death. So you will be challenged in changing your heart. Because not everything happens overnight. It's a process. As we continue. And sometimes that voice that comes against your mind will speak up again and say, "That's not working. It's not working." But I love Hebrews 10:23. He says, "Let us firmly hold the profession of our faith." Hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. See, it's not about how good you are and how well you do this. It's the fact that he is faithful, that we can run to him. I get amazed that sometimes people, you know, they get discouraged, and what do? They do what Adam and Eve did. They run from him. I see people sometimes, they drop out of church. You see them, hey, boy, I've been missing you. Oh, I've just been going through some stuff. So you're running from God? You quit praying? You quit reading your Bible? Oh, I've just been going through some stuff. Listen, when you're going through some stuff, you know what you need to be doing? That's when you need to be in church. That's when you need to be praying. That's when you need to be in the Word. It says, quit wavering. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. I just want to slap somebody sometimes. I mean, wake up. Quit being like Adam and Eve. I was afraid and I hit myself. Don't run from God. Run to God. There's nothing you can do that He didn't know you were going to do. You can't disappoint God. To disappoint God, you would have to do something that He didn't know. And there's not anything that He don't know. He knows that you failed and knows that you will probably fail again, and He hasn't given up on you. So quit giving up on yourself. Quit listening to the enemy of your soul and running from God. Run to God. Okay. Shut that up. You get to choose. You choose the course of your life. Now, God's got a plan, and He'll work His plan if you'll choose Him. If you'll choose His way, His word. You say, well, what is my course? I don't know. That's not my job to know. When you do what you're supposed to, that will come out of you. That'll be the natural thing that comes out of your heart, will be your course. God will direct your desire. You know, the Bible says if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Now, that doesn't mean that anything you want, He'll let you have. That means that He'll put desire in your heart, and then He'll fulfill the desire that He puts in you. He's got a good plan for you. Quit screwing it up. Let's learn to cooperate with Him. Put the right things in your heart. That'll produce. That's God's part. Our part is choosing the right thing. His part is growing the crop. You know, when the farmer chooses to put the corn in instead of the cockle burrs, now he may have to water it a little bit, but he can't make that seed grow. God makes that seed grow. That's the design of the kingdom. That's kingdom design that the Word is designed to produce. See, listen to this. You take a little acorn. Did you know that the seed is the image of the harvest? Let that soak through. The seed is the image of the harvest. On the inside of that little acorn is the image of that mighty oak tree. Now it's going to draw from the soil to produce characteristics, but the DNA is in the seed. Listen, the DNA is in God's Word. It's in that seed. And when you put that seed in your heart, it'll draw the nutrients that's in your heart that God has designed it to do, to produce in you His plan and His purpose. And it will be just as unique as your personality. You know what? Nobody can Ron Hickey like Ron Hickey. There's only one of him, and we're glad. But that nobody can Ron Hickey like Ron Hickey. He's unique. He's unique. Don't act like somebody else. All you are is a cheap imitation. Be the real you. Choose God. Choose His Word. Choose His ways. Meditate on it. Give yourself to it. It'll work. Stand. I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to talk about